Bros.
Football.
Bros.
Touchdown!
Hello, it's football season.
Fantasy football.
Give me a hell yeah!
This is fantasy.
Can white guys use the term fam?
What's going on, fam? That's right, fantasy football back again. We're hitting double digits. Week 10 in the rear view. Here comes week 11. I'm Alex Hardy. With me as always, my main man. What's going on, John Salas?
Oh, Mr. Hardy, we are living the high life right now because for the first time ever, I did a clean sweep victory in all of my fantasy leagues, 4-0. So you know we're just the high is an all-time high right now. Like, we just can't come down.
Proud of you, John. I had no doubt in you whatsoever after you beat me. You thought that was the best it could have ever been. Just a week later, the pinnacle, the best you've ever been. Although, I don't want to call you a liar, but I think there's some trouble in paradise. There's a couple of teams playing out of Los Angeles, the Chargers and your Rams, that have struggled as of late. I think I just got to have you come clean, John. What is going on with Matthew Stafford and this offense, which a week ago, you were not too thrilled that Odell Beckham was coming to L.A.?
No, not at all. And I think it's safe to say the Odell Beckham curse is real. Robert Woods goes down with an injury Odell's first day at practice, and then they just get embarrassed for the second week in a row.
Well, remember, the first pass attempt of the game, Matthew Stafford goes deep looking for Odell. Is about
Not the first pass of the game. The first pass was a nice designed curl route to Odell for a nice 5 yards. Things are looking promising, and then it goes south right there.
Whoops.
Talk about reminiscence of Jared Goff, right? Like, I felt like I was watching JG16 out there. But my thing with the Rams is, are we seeing the real Matt Stafford? I heard a stat that Matt Stafford has like a losing record against teams with a winning that end up having a winning record to end the season.
Well, that makes sense. That's a lot of time in Detroit.
D-town.
Oh, Detroit.
Yeah. And from what I've seen, I go to every Rams home game, so I've been there. They need to stop forcing the ball to Cooper Kupp, one. And two, they got to start running the ball. We got a bye week coming in here. You get the Packers coming out. You get Odell Beckham Jr. a chance to get situated into the offense. You give Von Miller a chance to get more situated into the defense, because I know that defense has been brutal. One touchdown each of the last 2 weeks for Matthew Stafford. I'm not going to blame that pick six, because Tyler Higbee should have caught that. By the way, a bust going in so far, unless you're okay with just 6-7 points and an average 12 there. But I'm concerned with the Rams, because outside of Odell Beckham Jr. and Cooper Kupp, we all thought Van Jefferson was going to be the guy, but obviously it's been one game. The targets and looks have been there. We'll see if it goes up now that OBJ's there, but I don't know. I'm concerned. I just hope they get Daryl Henderson more involved, and, you know, Sony Michel for us fantasy owners who maybe need some running backs. Let's start using more two backs. And I'll say one last thing is, since we're getting down to the end of the regular season of fantasy, if Matthew Stafford's still struggling going into that week 13 and there's another quarterback who's been on fire, ride the wave. May be time to bench Stafford, but Cooper Kupp just seems like he's going to put up double digits every week. So Rams offense as a whole outside of those two, let's just hope that Van Jefferson gets more looks, because I know that was the big pickup coming into the Robert Woods injury.
Of course, you mentioned the bye week for the Rams now, so you will have another quarterback starting in place of Matthew Stafford. Ryan Tannehill was a solid waiver wire. The Titans up against the division rival Houston Texans for week 11. And there are definitely some more names out there. I don't know if Joe Flacco intrigues you. Just named the starter for the New York Jets this week.
And then don't sleep on Kirk Cousins. He's been playing pretty well these past two games. So if you want to keep riding that wave against Green Bay. So
yes.
I really like Kirk.
Naming legitimate quarterbacks, not Joe Flacco. Yes, absolutely good stopgap guys. The other team in Los Angeles, the LA Chargers, have been slumping themselves. And the eye-opening stat for me is that Justin Herbert has had more weeks as a fantasy quarterback scoring less than 15 points than he has more than 15 points. Now, as a top five fantasy scorer this year, you have the three outlier weeks where he had 30, 40 fantasy points a week. But more often than not, he's landing between 10 and 14 and a half fantasy points. And the last 2 weeks in particular, what teams have done against the Chargers is just really take advantage of one of the worst rushing defenses in quite some time. When playing the Los Angeles Chargers, opposing offenses run more than they pass. Literally just two teams in the NFL run the ball more than they pass against them. That's the LA Chargers and, of course, the Detroit Lions. Now, the defense is so bad in LA, the comparison to Detroit is, well, you build a lead and then you're just trying to burn the rest of the clock. No. You're more productive running against the Chargers than you are throwing against them. So what that really means moving forward is, how do you put the Chargers offense in positive game scripts to benefit Justin Herbert? It's a lot harder to do that when the right side of the offensive line is totally banged up. It sort of changed their offense. And it's just, the offense isn't designed for a player like Justin Herbert under center. Mike Williams' value completely dissipated, right? The wide receiver 2 through the first 5 weeks of the season. He's been the wide receiver 80 since. The idea is to get Herbert away from the pressure, dumping the ball off to Austin Eckler that we like, Keenan Allen we do like, and Jared Cook and Donald Parham that we do not like. So Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler have been feasting because they're not looking to take deep shots. Justin Herbert, among starting quarterbacks, ranks in the bottom 5 in terms of air yards per pass attempt. So guys like Kirk Cousins, Tua Tagovailoa, Teddy Bridgewater, Mac Jones get more air yardage on their passes than Justin Herbert does. Just doesn't match the profile of the guy we saw a year ago. He's too good to be dumping the ball off because the Chargers are afraid of him getting hit. This was the number one quarterback under pressure last year, and I really hope that they take advantage of his unique ability to evade pressure and uncork a deep ball. So if you can buy low on Mike Williams as we're approaching the trade deadline, you're not going to find a value better than right now. I'm still wary about starting him, though, just because, again, I love Brandon Staley, but it looks like Joe Lombardi is pretending like he still has Drew Brees under center for this Chargers offense.
Yeah, talk about a drop. I don't even think you can even get anything from Mike Williams right now if you're trading with a smart person, because I wouldn't even attempt him. He could be getting towards drop territory, especially here towards the end of the year, unless you just got to stash him when you need him.
Well, that's fine. I'll stash him if you're willing to drop him. I mean, there are fantasy managers I know still holding on to Allen Robinson. I mean, come on. There are better ways to use the end of your bench. I'll just put that out there.
Yeah, if those managers didn't listen to you a couple weeks ago here on the pod when we told you to drop him, when you did, you probably should do it now. Remember, it's Matt Nagy and the Bears.
The quote from Matt Nagy this week when asked about the Bears' losing streak, quote, "It's no one's fault other than everybody's fault."
What?
It's kind of refreshing, John. We used to start every show talking about what's wrong with the Kansas City Chiefs. And yet, here we go. Sunday Night Football, you were in Vegas. They drop a 40-burger, beating the Raiders 41-14. We actually had 4 teams putting up north of 40 points this week. So after we talked about a couple struggling teams, let's spend some time on these successful teams from Week 10 and whether or not they're going to hold true moving forward. So those Kansas City Chiefs, after scoring 36 points in their last 3 games, had 41 over the Raiders. Darrell Williams, of all people, high-pointing the ball, just mossing Jonathan Abram in the secondary. So the Chiefs moving forward, John Salas, are we back in 400 passing yards, 5 TDs for Patrick Mahomes? You weren't benching Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce in the first place. You weren't benching Patrick Mahomes. But how do we look at these Chiefs moving forward for the remainder of the regular season?
Yeah, I'm not worried about the Chiefs at all. We knew you have to have a couple bad games here and there. Yes, it had to happen and affect fantasy teams and fantasy owners, but let me say, they still have to play the Raiders again. So Patrick Mahomes just threw up 5 TDs. He's going to do it again in a couple weeks. They get Dallas, Denver, Pittsburgh, the Chargers, and Cincinnati. That is the rest of their schedule. I love it. Expect Patrick Mahomes to get all the ketchup in his veins and light up your fantasy points.
The Dallas Cowboys, 45-3 over the Atlanta Falcons. This, of course, after they bounce back from a tough loss against the Denver Broncos. It's all about Michael Gallup's return. Are the Cowboys running 3 wide receivers, or are they sticking with their 12 personnel? where we had success from the likes of Dalton Schultz, even Blake Jarwin popped a week or two. So Michael Gallup starting or Dalton Schultz to the bench, which is the more likely outcome for this Cowboys offense? Because CeeDee Lamb's been fantastic. Amari Cooper will win some of his matchups too. Again, the Cowboys and the Chiefs meeting week 11.
So if we're going between Schultz and Gallup here, by the way, I love this Cowboys team right now, now that they are fully healthy. Out of all the teams that we're going to talk about that have done the 40 burgers, this team did not surprise me at all. I would take Michael Gallup over Dalton Schultz. CeeDee Lamb's been breaking out. Amari Cooper's been breaking out. So someone else has got to get the ball, and Dak's going to be throwing the ball a lot. Yeah, Zeke's going to get his looks in the pass game too, but I mean, I don't know. I just don't really trust tight ends that much. If you know, you're not a Kelsey, a Waller, or, you know, a Kittle or something like that. I just think there's more mouths to feed, and Michael Gallup going to be one of them going down the stretch here in Dallas.
Well, I hope you're right. We are all rooting for Dak Prescott to throw the football more. That's when the Cowboys offense scored the most points. We love points. It's fantasy football, baby. But they still need to pretend that they're running the football. And a lot of the success that Dak Prescott had connecting with, you know, CeeDee Lamb or Dalton Schultz came off of play action. And Zeke Elliott's been resurgent, having one of his best years in a couple seasons. So Dalton Schultz and Michael Gallup will both be on the field. Tight end, of course, is a thin position. I do like Michael Gallup moving forward, even when coming back from IR was heavily involved in the passing game. So we'll have to see how it shakes out. It's a really interesting tilt with the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, you have two ball-hungry corners that could put the clamps a little bit. Trayvon Diggs on Tyreek Hill a little bit. Like, that sounds pretty intriguing. I'm into that. The least surprising 40 burger for me, John Salas, not the Dallas Cowboys, but anybody facing the New York Jets. The Buffalo Bills, 45-17 over the Fighting Mike Whites. All the girls say I'm pretty fly. Play action passing was the difference. Josh Allen, 14-17 for over 300 yards. And that's with a banged up Zach Moss in the backfield. Matt Breida scores a couple touchdowns. And really moving forward, the Bills are going to utilize their rushing game to sell that play action. Stephon Diggs in the receiving game had a season high 5 red zone targets. And still, Matt Breida ends up with a pair of touchdowns. We love weeks where Stephon Diggs is targeted early and often. We love when Josh Allen is humming balls out of the play action. So it's going to be really difficult if the Bills do utilize 3 running backs in the backfield. I think Zach Moss is still the guy to own. I know we talked about this backfield a couple weeks ago, but the Bills are surging, and they've got to play with some urgency, John Salas. There's a team that somehow is only 1 game behind them in the AFC East. Do you want to talk about the last team to hang 40 in Week 10?
Well, Mr. Hardy, I'm so honored that you're going to throw the Patriots over to me. Ramondre Stevenson, who would have thought? 114 yards of total offense and I believe 2 touchdowns?
That's right.
Uh-oh, did Bill find a new toy in the backfield? We'll have to wait and see tonight. Damien Harris is supposed to be active. I'm just going to say I just was really impressed with Stevenson and how he carried his own weight against that crappy Browns defense, by the way. I just can't believe that. They just don't want to blitz. So, hey, let Bill just abuse that. But, Mr. Hardy, I want to bring this up to you, and I want to let you take the floor here and talk about your Pats. Mac Jones, he's not looking that bad. He might be the best rookie quarterback that's playing right now.
Might be? You're kidding me, right? I think the other rookie quarterbacks have combined for 3 wins in games that they've started. Mac Jones has 6, and he's got a win that's not against Zach Wilson anymore. So this offense is legit. But again, Mac Jones, 198 passing yards on 19 completions, and Ramondre Stevenson ran the ball 20 times. So clearly when the Patriots are leading, they're going to be running the football. Mac Jones has done an excellent job of keeping the Patriots ahead of the sticks. And there were some really great balls that he threw, including the touchdown throw, 3rd and long for Kendrick Bourne, 3rd and long for Hunter Henry. He had done an outstanding job just making sure the offense stayed on the field. But, I mean, the real question that I have is Ramondre Stevenson. Is he taking over for this offense, or is he going to be the next Jonas Gray? No. He only scored 2 touchdowns, not 4. And Jonas Gray never even really saw the roster again. But we've come a long way from when Stevenson was a healthy scratch for this team. I think you really keyed on it, John. When the Cleveland Browns defense, when they tell Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney, just go after the quarterback, they don't send extra pass rushers for blitzing. The one skill that most rookie running backs need to learn in the NFL level is pass blocking. And Stevenson didn't have to do much of it. That's why he was on the field for 20 snaps. And an active Damian Harris means, at worst, it's going to be a 50-50 backfield split. I think Damian Harris has a stranglehold on the goal line carries for this offense when healthy. Stevenson's going to be more involved between the 20s, but I'm still going to be starting Damian Harris. I'm going to consider Ramondre Stevenson in deeper leagues, but I'm just not convinced that, you know, because he got 20 carries, we're going to turn around and on a short week with only 3 days off, they're going to give him the ball 20 times again. He's a rookie with solid pedigree, but he's still a rookie in Bill Belichick's offense. Just not a bell cow week in, week out. One week, sure, but I don't think long-term.
Exactly. I don't think long-term, but here's the thing. Short week, Damian Harris just coming back. I mean, we know how Bill Belichick is with his running backs.
We don't know how he is. We don't know. The uncertainty is the certainty.
How active is Damian Harris going to be tonight? I think Stevenson is going to get a majority of those looks and carries. And, yeah, I mean, if you want to risk Damian Harris coming in when they're inside the 10-yard line to get in those goal line looks, but I've just seen it so many times in a situation like this. I just still think it's a Stevenson's game. And then starting next week, it's back to Harris. I don't know. What do we know?
We know it's the Atlanta Falcons lining up and the Dallas Cowboys just gashed them. Again, we mentioned 45-3 this past week. I don't think the Patriots are going to go put up another 45 points, but I do think they're going to have the advantage in the rushing game, which is exactly where they want to be. And the real issue, too, is Cordarrelle Patterson, a game-time decision for the Falcons after he exited with an injury. Wayne Gallman and Mike Davis are completely ineffective, and even if they do get the lion's share of the running back carries, not going to do anything against that Patriots defensive line. So it really comes down to one question with Thursday Night Football. Kyle Pitts, is he must start, or do you truly believe the Belichick defense is going to clamp down the one offensive weapon Atlanta has if Cordarrelle, a former Patriot, by the way, is ruled out tonight?
You still have to play Kyle Pitts. Is there a better tight end sitting there that you feel comfortable throwing in instead of Kyle Pitts? Because right. I can't think of one.
No, you're absolutely right. It's the thinnest position. I don't expect big numbers, but there's certainly going to be a floor if a pass rush gets after Matt Ryan and he's got to dump the ball off. That being said, Kyle Pitts isn't the blocker. Lee Smith is basically a sixth offensive lineman, which I think they're going to desperately need after they looked horrific on the offensive line against that Dallas defense. I am so pumped. I know I'm getting like these delusions that the Patriots are going to score 45 again, or that the Falcons are going to allow 45 again. But John, I am just so pumped for Thursday Night Football. I was kind of kidding last week, but for real, like this is going to be a bloodbath. I can't.
So, if the Patriots go down 28-3, do you feel confident that Mac Jones can lead the way?
Again, if the Falcons go down 28-3, like they did against the Cowboys, that game's going to finish 45-3.
No, hold on. No, I meant.
No, I know what you asked. The Patriots are not going down 28.
Okay.
It's not happening. It's just not happening. And with that, I'm going to eat those words. I'm sure we're going to come back after the Thanksgiving break, fam. We deserve some time off from fantasy football. I mean, not really. I don't deserve it. I'm not very good at it. John Salas, though, give yourself a round of applause for a 4-0 record. I'm not going to make you risk that next week. So, fam, enjoy your Thanksgiving. You know we've got to do it. We do this every single year. So until next time.
It's Thanksgiving. We are going to have a good time.
Hey, we
are gonna have a good time.
Hey, Griffin, you wanna have a good time with some turkey, mashed potatoes, and gravy?
Yeah.
Gobble gobble.